Good day, and welcome to the 4SC Strategy Update conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Volkan Gozgen, Corporate Communications and Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and welcome from my side as well. It's our pleasure to have you on today's conference call on 4SC's strategy update related to the ad hoc and press releases issued earlier today. With us are our CEO, Jason Loveridge, and our Chief Development Officer, Frank Herrmann, who will give a brief presentation on our updated and progressive development program. Following their presentation, we will have a Q&A session in which both of them will be happy to answer your questions. In the ad hoc and press releases related to this conference, we indicated that there's a presentation available for download on our website. You may find this document in the Investors and Media section under Investor Information in the submenu Conference Calls and Webcasts. The presentation will support the comments we make today. However, you should also be able to follow our call even without slides in front of you. Finally, before I turn it over to Jason, I would like to briefly remind you that during today's conference call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products, services, or future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statement, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. Jason, please go ahead.
Thank you, Wolfgang, and welcome everybody to today's call. I think the goal of today's call is really to outline for you our plans for the next 3 years, to define the programs and milestones which will drive value creation for all stakeholders in 4SC, and to outline the commercial opportunities that exist for our three core programs. As you know, we have three key drug candidates, resminostat, 4SC-202, and 208. On slide 3 of the presentation, we summarize our vision for 2020. I think the key points on this slide are really the transformative approval of resminostat in CTCL. This is our primary goal for the next 3 years. Secondly, to advance both resminostat and 4SC-202 into pivotal studies, which would see approval of those drugs not long thereafter resminostat in CTCL. If you could turn to slide 4, please. On slide 4, we outline the pipeline in summary form and also the expected value drivers for each of the three core programs. I'm going to hand over to Frank Herrmann now, who will talk in more detail about each of these programs. But his focus for today will be primarily on 4SC-202 and 4SC-208, because I think here we see much more information that has not been in the public domain until today. Frank?
Thank you, Jason, and thanks for dialing in. So in the next minutes, I want to give you an update on our clinical development strategy for our compounds, resminostat, 4SC-202, and 4SC-208. And we'll have a focus on 4SC-202 in combination with checkpoint inhibitors, which potentially offering us an opportunity for fast-to-market in this competitive field in oncology. I first want to start with our lead compound, resminostat, in cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, and in this I refer to the press release from beginning of May, where we had a poster at IAEDO Congress with an update of the recruitment status. So RESMAIN study maintenance at CTCL is now recruiting for half a year, and as we are close in contact with our investigators getting experience with resminostat, we see that the study is very well accepted, and to date we are on track with in total 30 sites open and 18 patients randomized to date. And as already communicated, we expect headline results for this study in first half year 2019 and plan to submit marketing authorization application in Europe as soon as possible thereafter. More detailed information on CTCL you can find on pages 6 to 9. The second main indication for resminostat is hepatocellular carcinoma. HCC, liver cancer, is the fastest rising cancer type worldwide and has been and is still in one of the focus of our clinical development for resminostat. The data published by Yakult beginning this year from a randomized phase 2 study identified a relevant subgroup of patients, those with a platelet count of more than 150,000 per microliter, showing a substantial benefit in OS from combination with sorafenib versus sorafenib monotherapy, the current standard of care, first-line treatment for HCC. We know that patients with advanced HCC and normal platelet count have, in general, a more advanced metastatic disease with consecutively a worse prognosis, and we also know that platelets drive the phenotype of the hepatocellular carcinoma in a more mesenchymal, dedifferentiated direction. For this mesenchymal HCC phenotype, sorafenib alone is less effective, and the addition of resminostat synergizes with sorafenib to result in a clinical benefit for advanced HCC patients with a platelet count more than 150,000 per microliter. FOREC continues to discuss plans for further development of resminostat with potential partners, including current partner Yakult Honsha, with the goal to start a pivotal study with resminostat in advanced HCC. Now coming to FOREC-202, and for further information on HCC and resminostat, please see pages 10 to 13. And the information for FOREC-202 will start at page 15. The clinical development program focuses very much on the combination of FOREC-202 with anti-PD-1 or anti-PD-L1 antibodies. FOREC-202 is the first inhibitor of HDAC class 1 and LSD1 in clinical studies and was initially tested in the TOPAZ study in 24 patients for safety and antitumor activity. It was well tolerated and has shown relevant antitumor activity in mostly heavily pretreated hematologic patients. In addition, in several preclinical models, FOREC-202 has strengthened the adaptive immune response to cancer, in particular by T-cell activation and T-cell infiltration into tumor, increase of MHC expression and expression of tumor-associated antigen. With these immunologic features, we see FOREC-202 as an ideal candidate for the combination with checkpoint inhibitors like anti-PD-1, anti-PD-L1, especially for those patients who do not respond to the monotherapy treatment alone. On pages 15 and 16, you can see the effects of FOREC-202 alone and in combination with anti-PD-1, PD-L1 in two mouse models and the additive effect for FOREC-202 in combination with these checkpoint inhibitors, and as well the remarkable reduction of tumor size. Of note, for FOREC-202, we don't see any toxic effects on activated T cells, and this in contrast to other HDAC class 1 inhibitors. So this is the preclinical work, and how do we transfer this information into the clinics, and where do we stand, and what are our midterm plans? On page 17, you can see the role of checkpoint inhibition. So checkpoint inhibition is standard of care in many solid tumor indications, bringing benefit to some patients, but a high proportion is still not responding to therapy, and the mechanisms of immune escape is partly unknown, but there are mechanisms which are known, and in general, the non-responding tumors are so-called immunologic cold tumors, so there are no T cells in the tumor who can do their work. For a C202, as you can see in the preclinical work, shows signs of making a cold tumor to a hot tumor, meaning more responsive to checkpoint inhibition. By increasing the expression of MHC class proteins, PD-L1 expression, and generally increasing the tumor cell immunogenicity. And in addition, as said, no toxic effect on T cells have been seen in the preclinical work. So in detail, we want to conduct two clinical studies, and now I'm on page 19 of the presentation. The Sensitize study is a phase 1b/2 study of 4C202 in combination with an anti-PD-1 antibody in advanced melanoma patients who do not respond to standard of care anti-PD-1 treatment. The intention of this study is to learn about safety, antitumor activity and also biomarkers from sequential biopsies. The study will enroll 30 to 40 patients in total and will be conducted in up to 6 specialized skin cancer centers in Germany and will be led by one of the main international known key opinion leaders. First patient in is estimated in second half 2017. And the first data in this PD-1 refractory non-responding patient population are expected mid of 2018 and might indicate a proof of concept signal. The second study is eMERGE study. It's an investigator-initiated trial proposed by a cancer center with international renown, investigating for a C2 in combination with an anti-PD-L1 antibody in patients with microsatellite stable GI cancers who historically don't respond to anti-PD-L1 therapy alone. Also here, first patient in is expected in second half of 2017. So based on the preclinical work, which I referred to and which is on page 15 and 16 in the presentation, on the immunologic features of 4C202 in combination with checkpoint inhibitors, as well as externally published data on an indication called Merkel cell carcinoma, in addition to the expected initial readouts from Sensitize and eMERGE, we see a clear scientific rationale and opportunity to enter a pivotal study in advanced Merkel cell carcinoma in patients relapsed or refractory to anti-PD-L1 treatment by earliest end of 2018. And there is a clear scientific rationale for Merkel cell carcinoma, which I will refer in the following minutes. So Merkel cell carcinoma is also called neuroendocrine carcinoma and is a rare type of non-melanoma skin cancer. And it's caused either by Merkel cell polyomavirus, or virus-induced, or heavy UV exposure. There is one anti-PD-L1 antibody approved by the FDA and expected also in Europe in the next 2 months for the treatment of patients with advanced Merkel cell carcinoma after chemotherapy, but also first-line checkpoint inhibitors are investigated. So there is a clear rationale that the MHC expression and the low MHC expression is one of the critical immune escape mechanisms in Merkel cell carcinoma, and there is a clear correlation between T cells in the tumor and response to checkpoint inhibitors. Therefore, and referring to the preclinical work, we see that for a C2 can exactly do that in the tumor microenvironment and so synergize with anti-PD-1 or PD-L1 antibody. And of note, the pivotal study of avelumab in Merkel cell carcinoma and the granted accelerated approval by the FDA was based on results of an open-label, single-arm, multicenter study, which was conducted in 88 patients. In addition, Merkel cell carcinoma is an orphan indication, and in total, about 50% of the advanced patients will enter an advanced stage over time. And in addition, no competitive drugs are currently in development in this indication and patient population. Last but not least, the 4C208. 4C208, and this starts on page 21 in the company presentation, is a clear cancer stem cell inhibitor. Cancer stem cells are critical for tumorigenesis, metastasis, and resistance to different therapies. And the mechanism of action is applicable across a lot of multiple indications, for example, basal cell carcinoma. There are substances like vismodegib, SMO inhibitors, which mode of action is via the CLE molecule, but there are different pathways which can overcome this blockade and make these patients resistant to SMO inhibition. For a C208, targets more central, and we see a great potential to investigate this substance in the clinic in resistant patients to vismodegib, for example. But as said, there are different opportunities in the clinical development. So currently, we work in the preclinical, we do the preclinical work, but we estimate to go into the clinic with a proof of concept study in 2019. And on page 22, you can see impressions of the efficacy data preclinically by inhibiting GLE on a central way. And on the right-hand side picture, you can see that tumor growth is inhibited completely. And as said, in 2019, we want to bring this compound into clinic. With this, I want to hand over to the operator, and we are happy to take any questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. Now, our first question comes from the line of Linda Pomeroy of Edison. Please go ahead.
Great. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. I've got a couple of questions. First off, around the resminostat and your sort of looking at your sort of vision to 2020. I was just wondering, you know, you mentioned in other territories, could we be looking at the U.S. In that, and or would we be looking at maybe some other indications as well for resminostat? So that's my first question. My second question is around 4SC202. If I understood correctly, both the company-initiated trial and the investigator-initiated trial is going to be done in Germany. I was just wondering whether you could give a bit more color around why you chose the particular indications that you've chosen for moving that forward into phase two. And then finally, around the timing of the move into the pivotal study, will you be waiting for just the data from the company-initiated trial in order to be able to kick that one off, or will you also wait for the investigator-initiated trial? Thank you.
Thanks very much for those three questions. We'll take them in order. I'll address the first one, and then I will pass to Frank, who will address the two points on 4SC202. So with respect to resminostat in CTCL and other territories, as you know, we have a partnership agreement with Yakult Honsha for Japan. So certainly this could be one territory that potentially we would look to develop resminostat in on the back of the ResMain study data, and we would also consider the United States as well, and it is the intention at 4SC in 2017 to seek scientific advice on the back of the ResMain study protocol as to applicability for filing in the United States. I'll pass to Frank for the other two questions.
Yes, sure. Thanks for the question. So first, the company-initiated study will be conducted in Germany. The IIT was proposed by an international center not based in Germany. To date, so it's in UK. To date, I can't disclose exactly the center, but it will be in UK. And to the second question, so what was the reason to choose exactly these indications? So advanced melanoma was the first indication where checkpoint inhibition was approved. And so it was very clear that refractory non-responding patients don't have any alternatives. And investigating these patients, there are a lot of patients coming from commercial drug being refractory. In addition, melanoma is kind of the example tumor for immunologic modulation. And as a third reason, melanoma is mostly skin cancer or skin metastasized. And as we want to learn about the mode of action within sequential biopsies, these were the reasons to investigate melanoma patients. The microsatellite stable gastrointestinal cancers have shown nearly no response to checkpoint inhibition alone. other than the microsatellite instable, which is only 5%. So 95% of these patients are microsatellite stable. And we hypothesize that for a C202 in combination in these patients can make a hot tumor out of a cold tumor and bring benefit to these patients. From the timing, there will be, as these are single-arm studies, and especially in the IIT, there is a safety run-in phase planned. We will get data by mid of next year on proof of concept, but also regarding the recommended phase 2 dose for the combination to potentially enter into a pivotal study.
I see. Great. Thank you. That's very clear.
Marietta Minutes of Akinet, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a few, please. The first one is a very broad question on project prioritization and the scope of the planned capital increase. So your overall development plan sounds quite ambitious and extensive. So are you actually looking to raise enough capital in the coming months to fully finance all of the projects you list in your release? Or if you raise less money, how would you prioritize the projects? And would you start projects that have only been partly funded? And then more specifically on 202 and sort of following on from the earlier question, do you actually think that you can raise money now for the pivotal study of 202, which is not due to start until late 2018, or do you think that you really need to await the sensitized data? And can you just remind us what the actual triggers are to go into the pivotal study in Merkel cell carcinoma? I wasn't quite sure from your response to the last question if basically it would mainly depend on the sensitized data, which will come out before, or if it's partly dependent on, you know, the phase 2 dose finding from the other study, which at that point would also be available, if I understood correctly. And then just a small question on 208. I didn't quite get, you said there's evidence that it can overcome resistance to SMO inhibition. Is that just based on preclinical data, or do you have any clinical data in that respect? And finally, if you can just give us sort of a brief recruitment update on your CTCL study. So you've enrolled 18 patients. I mean, it seems that that's still a pretty small proportion of the targeted enrollment. And I also noticed that the timelines for the first readout have slipped a bit. So is there any reason for the slow initial patient accrual? Have you seen that accelerating recently? And how confident are you in the timelines that you gave for the study readout first half of 2019? Thank you very much.
I'll try and remember them all rather than try and answer them. But dealing with the last one first, I think with respect to resminostat and CTCL, there's been no slip on the timelines. We've always given this guidance with respect to top-line data, and that remains unchanged. So it's inaccurate to say that we're giving a different guidance than what we gave before. It is exactly the same. Recruitment is absolutely on track. If anything, it's a little bit ahead of where we thought we would be at this time when the study plan was put together with our CRO. So I think that answers the question on resminostat in CTCL. With respect to 208, as Frank indicated in his presentation, it is a preclinical compound, so all information is based on preclinical data. 208 has not entered any patient studies to date. I'll pass over to Frank to deal with 202, but just to deal with the capital raise question or questions, because I think there was at least four in there. I can't really comment on either the size or the timing of the fundraise. And I certainly can't comment on what might or might not happen about something that will or will not happen at some point unknown in the future. So I think the question is a little bit really difficult to give any sensible answer to. I think what we're trying to do in this presentation is to give investors an overall vision of where we feel the company will be in 2020 to to identify the key drivers for value creation over the next 3 years and to lay out for people a very clear and defined strategy of how we build value for 4SC. Obviously, our goal will be to fund as much of the program as we possibly can. Frank?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe first one addition to the 4SC28 question. So targeting SMO is a very effective in, for example, basal cell carcinoma, but what happens is that there are mutations in the binding of SMO, and if it can't bind, then there is no inhibition downstream. And there are alternative pathways, about several pathways, which all end on GLE. So there is clear evidence that cutting, and there are other examples in oncology, cutting more downstream will stop growing tumors or prevent of increasing tumors or kill or reduce the tumor size. But as Jason said, this is preclinical work, but we are quite confident on this target to bring to clinic. With respect to the 4SC202, so deciding on potential pivotal studies, there are different components, and of course we are doing with renowned scientists, we are also doing preclinical work on Merkel cell carcinoma, and we learned a lot about Merkel cell carcinoma and the relevance of MHC expression and also infiltration of T cells. Therefore, and seeing what 4SC202 can do in preclinical models and might prove in sensitized, and this is the goal, MCC is a Merkel cell carcinoma, is an ideal candidate for going into a pivotal study. But of course, we need initial safety data to have the recommended phase 2 dose for the combination, and a proof of concept information in refractory or non-responding patients.
I hope we addressed all of the questions. If we didn't, I'm happy to take them again.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. And it seems there are no further questions in the queue. And as a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will pause for just a moment to allow you to signal. As there are no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back to our hosts today for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, we thank everyone for participating in the call, have a good day. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.